It hit me like a dash of icy water. In the shocked hush, I found my hand going to my left-hand coat pocket while everyone gaped at me. Bentinck took a pace towards me, saying, "No, stop, not before the ladies." And then my hand came out, and there were three playing cards in it. I was too horrified and bewildered to speak. There was a shriek from one of the females, and a general gasp, and someone muttered, "Cheat! Oh!" I could only stare from the cards to Bentinck's horrified face, to Bryant's, flushed and exultant, and to Dizzy's, white with disbelief. Miss Fanny jumped up with a shriek, starting away from me, and then someone was shepherding the females from the room in a terrible silence, leaving me with the stern, disgusted faces and the exclamations of incredulity and amazement. I stood there, gazing at the cards in my hand. I can see them yet. The King of Clubs, the Deuce of Hearts, and the Ace of Diamonds. Bentinck was speaking, and I forced myself to look round at him, with Bryant, Disraeli, Old Morrison, Locke, and the others crowding at his back. "Gentlemen," my voice was hoarse, I can't imagine, I swear to God.
"I saw his hand go to his pocket at the last deal." This was Bryant.
"Remarkable," says Disraeli with an odd note in his voice. "For a few pence. You know, George, it's damned unlikely."
"The amount never matters," says Bentinck, with a voice like steel. "It's winning. Now, sir, what do you have to say?"
I hadn't cheated. When I cheat, it's for something that matters, and suddenly it hit me like a lightning flash. Bryant, coming round to touch Aunt Selina's hand, standing shoulder to shoulder with me. So this was how he was taking his revenge. I dashed the cards down. "It's a bloody lie," I shouted. "I didn't cheat, I swear it. My God, why would I cheat for a few coppers?" I pointed at Bryant. "That jealous little bastard placed the cards in my pocket to disgrace me." That set up a tremendous uproar, and Bryant played it like a master. He gritted his teeth, bowed to the company, and says, "Lord George, I leave it to you to determine the worth of a foul slander from a proven cheat." And then he strode from the room. I could only stand raging then, as I saw how he had foxed me. My God, ruined me, and before the best in the land. I lost control altogether. I sprang for the door, bawling after him. Someone caught my sleeve, but I threw him off, and then I was plunging through the door in pursuit. There was a hubbub behind me, and a sudden squeal of alarm ahead, for there were ladies at the head of the stairs, their white faces turned towards me. Bryant made off at the sight of me, and in blind passion, I hurled myself after him. I had only one thought, to pound the little squirt to death. I got my hand on his collar at the top of the stairs and wrenched him round, his face grey with fear, and shook him like a rat. "You foul vermin," I roared. "Try to dishonour me, would you?" And I drew back my right fist and smashed it into his face.
Nowadays, when I'm daydreaming over the better moments of my misspent life, galloping Lola Montez and Queen Rana Valona, and little René the Creole, and having old Colin Campbell pinning the VC to my unworthy breast, when I think back on these fine things, the recollection of hitting Tommy Bryant invariably comes back to me. In retrospect, I can't think of inflicting a hurt that I enjoyed more. My fist caught him so hard that his collar was jerked clean out of my hand, and he went hurtling down the staircase like an arrow before crashing to rest in the hall, his limbs all asprawl.